This is CliffCentral.com.
We must acknowledge. We must acknowledge properly that we have a champ in our midst.
I did not see that coming.
What you did? You're not aware, Horu, we have a champion in our midst. Ha!
Do you know how many times it said the champ is here before I realized you're playing that for me?
We are born. Dumi Morake is a champ. Did you realize that you are a champion? Welcome to it on CliffCentral.com with myself, Mabale Moloi.
And Dumi Morake.
And over the weekend, Dumi Morake was very busy. She was dressed to the nines.
Why do they say to the nines?
What does that mean?
I'm going to Google it because you're asking pertinent questions.
In Lera, madam. In Lera, there she was at Monte Casino, ne?
Yeah.
At Monte Casino on a Saturday night. And she basically, it was declared, Hore, Dumi Morake is the best of the best. Huh? Comic of the year at the Comics Choice Awards.
Whereupon my balls did drop. My fellas did find itself in proper size.
Okay, then.
I was, yeah.
Yeah?
Whereupon I then decided that, no, this is the day you castrate your manly bits and celebrate with your most womanly of bits.
There you are. It's as simple as that. Congratulations. Thank you. You know, I noticed that, well, firstly, you've got your trophy here, which is amazing, because immediately, as soon as Dumi walked into the building, the first thing I did was I went for the trophy, and I grabbed it. And then I rushed upstairs, and I walked into a room full of people, and I started crying, and I said, I'd like to thank. I would like to thank myself for being awesome. You know, when the trophy is not yours, you want to grab these things and take them and hold them and just, you know, be with them for a while.
Yes.
Are you sick of this trophy yet, Dumi?
No. Hey, it's very heavy though. What I'm fighting, I suppose, is the temptation to melt it and sell it because it's quite expensive. I mean, it's extremely expensive. So the gold digger in me is going, no. Celebrate the accolade. Don't try and make money out of the accolade.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's solid gold and solid silver. That is insane, you know? His jeans actually were torn by like an hour into getting the award.
Why? So is that literally, people were like grabbing his pants?
Yeah.
Going for his pants?
Yeah, I was like, what the? Because you know, all the Waldos are naked. This is the only dressed Waldo with Edgar's jeans on it.
Is that what it's called, a Waldo?
It's a Waldo.
Oh, I like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. And so, of course, the in joke in my acceptance set was, I will now be pregnant with my fourth child, and I shall call the child Waldo.
Okay.
So only the community, the community fraternity understood the Waldo. Everybody was going,
what?
She called the child Waldo?
Yeah, we don't understand. Waldo here, the Waldo, is wearing a jean pant.
Yeah, it's jean pant.
And he's got what is this? Is it the jester head?
Yes, the jester's head. Yes.
His head.
Yes.
In his hands.
In his hands. You know, it's like I think it pays homage to Yorick. For Shakespeare fans who will know about Hamlet, who finds Yorick's skull.
Okay.
When he goes to the cemetery. And so it's just an ode to the space we occupy as comedians. And you know, comedians are. Much like court jesters, the only people who can deliver bad news and package it well.
Okay.
Yes,
I see the symbolism here. Symbology? What is it?
Yeah, the symbolism. Yeah, right. It's okay. It's too early for big English.
Okay.
I don't blame you.
All right.
And they used to be the only people who were allowed to deliver bad news to the king. Anybody else would have no guts because you'd probably be beheaded for telling the king.
So the jester would go in and tell the king, Hore.
Hey, wait, find you.
Okay, but he had to deliver it with a punchline.
Chapaka punchline. You know what somebody once said that stuck with me is when they said comedy is tragedy delivered in gags.
Mm.
And I thought that's exactly it.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, man. No, this award means everything to me. I must be honest. I said it before. I really didn't know how much I wanted it until I won it. It's just, you know, when you've played with the boys and you've gone, I've played by your rules and invented my own, and still I matched you and overtook some of you.
Yeah.
For them to acknowledge that is a huge deal, Mabali. I mean,
are you officially the first woman to do that?
I'm the first woman to win this award. The first woman to win a Comics Choice Award, period, I think was Kanyisa Bunu.
Mm-hmm.
She won it for Audience Choice, where the audience votes for mm-hmm. their winner. And she won that last year. She had the funniest acceptance speech ever. It was hilarious.
You see, that's the thing. Because now you are comedians and, you know, we used to you guys making us laugh.
Mm.
Is there extra pressure on the acceptance speech as a comedian versus if you're some pop star?
At Comics Choice, you're not allowed to actually have a speech. You're supposed to do 5 minutes of comedy as your acceptance speech, because that's the only reason you're getting this award, is because of your gags.
Okay.
And when I went up, I started off trying to go in that direction. But then I thought, man, what has happened here is huge. And I was remiss to not prepare, because had I actually done a nice 5 minute set, I would have done a nice 5 minute set that would have spoken to what I needed to say. But I really, really did need to acknowledge the significance of the fact that I'm a woman taking this award. It had to be said. So I'm glad about that. I know the spirit of what I meant to say. I am yet to watch what I said. I don't know. I have vague memories. I know I started with a set. Then I went into other shit, which I don't remember. I was just overwhelmed, man. You know this thing.
You know, I was listening to you while you were on The Best of Both Worlds with Nolanta Tshabalala on touchcentral.fm. And you said that you cried.
I did. Can you believe it? This gangster cried, guys. Like,
no, I mean, clearly that moment was very overwhelming for you.
No, it was.
Mm.
It was. You know, the scariest time in the movie is when you see the badass guy cry. Then you know.
Yeah.
Someone's about to die.
Well, yeah. Given.
No, I was. I was touched, bruh. Because these are guys I work with. You know, we vote for each other. This is what people need to understand, why these awards are so important to us, is that there's only one category that's open to outsiders to vote, which is the Audience Choice Award.
Mm-hmm.
All other categories in this award ceremony are voted for by peers.
That's where the difference comes.
Yes,
that's
where the difference
because
comes.
Because these are your peers, but aren't they also your competitors in your space?
In a way,
field?
Yes. They're your competitors, depending. I mean, I feel like we're still so different in this country as comedians that it's hard to say this is my competition, because we actually have each seem to have found places that we fit into perfectly that nobody else can fit into. But, yeah, man, look, because for me, to be honest, why this means more to me than an award that would have been voted for by people who claim to be comedy fans is that there are some people who actually don't know comedy, who are only, the number of people I meet who are going, this is the first time I've watched a stand-up show, you know?
Mm.
The number of people who know Trevor Noah and no one else, and they think that is the benchmark for comedy.
Yeah.
The people, so you'll find that there are people who actually don't even know how the industry works, but they think they're authorities on voting for who's the best and who's not. And so this matters to me, because one thing about comedians is that we are at everybody's show. We are always in the clubs. We're always on the road. So we get to see each other's work. We follow everybody's progress. We pretend we're all just loners, you know, who only know what we are doing, don't know what everybody else is doing, but we are watching each other and we're all following each other. Because once somebody starts getting something right, we all kind of jump onto it. You know what I mean? So it just means so much, because of what it says is the people who understand the industry, understand what it takes to even stay in the industry, have gone, but you.
We recognize you.
You.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you must shine. They parked their egos and they went, I'm going to let this woman shine. This woman must shine.
Yeah.
Because I think, I honestly still believe I deserved it last year.
Mm.
That was the year when my heart shattered. Even though, look, my heart, luckily I had a month to get over it, because I found out, because isn't it, we did the skit. So obviously in order to do the skit, I must know who's won and who hasn't won. So
I don't understand.
We did a skit to say Trevor Noah has won.
Oh, okay. Before the actual awards.
Before the
ceremony.
Actual awards. All right. So, no, I'm lying. It wasn't a month. It was 2 weeks. So, we start rehearsing for the Comics Choice Awards and wara-wara. So, the director then had asked to find out who is the winner because he wants to do something to mess with the most coveted award.
Mm.
Because the thing about these awards is we shouldn't take them too seriously, which is a fact. As comedians ourselves, we need to keep reminding ourselves not to take these awards too seriously because we don't do it for the awards. The awards are a great recognition, but the work we do is bigger than the awards. It's bigger than us. Because especially in the arts, in the creative arts, everybody, you know what, actually it doesn't matter about the creative arts. Generally in life, everybody has a calling. Whatever you are doing is a calling. When you're a teacher, it's a calling. And when you're a nurse, when you're a janitor, when you are a comedian, your thing is a calling. And as a comedian, you cannot forget that that's your calling. We are healers. We do a lot. Like there's a shrink who said, you know, we do for someone in 30 minutes of comedy what takes him months, sometimes even years of therapy to do for people.
Yeah, and at a much cheaper rate.
Much cheaper rate. Yeah. So, you know, it's a big deal. And for me, even though we get these awards, for me, this is just to remind me I'm on the right path and I'm on the right track and that my journey is still, you know, it's out there. I'm not just a fart in the wind. Because I feel like at some point the big thing was being the first, being the only. Now it's also about being the best at what I do.
Hmm.
And this was a beautiful, beautiful accolade to receive. But we shouldn't take it too seriously. I mean, you know, what touched me at the awards was meeting this guy who he basically was there at my first one-man show, Her Story. And after that, followed my career, bought my DVD, and was there when I received this award.
Mm.
And when he spoke about my show and how he was sitting in the front row, he even told me A13. He remembered his seat number.
Sure, okay.
That he sat in.
So this is clearly someone who you've had an impact on.
Yes. And I'm sitting there going, guys, can we discuss that this is a middle-aged white dude who's saying this to me? Because, you know, sometimes we box ourselves.
Mm.
I will go, I look at myself in the mirror, and I take myself at face value, and I say, but that's my audience. It's the young black women, upwardly mobile, young black guys.
Mm.
Those are my people. Mm. That's who's listening to me.
Yeah.
I'm not considering that the content of what I say is not me in a bubble. I share my experience of the world, and it's interesting how many people relate to it, respond to it, and love it. And that thing grounded me. Because immediately I went, this thing is not about me. It reminded me that this thing is a calling. We're not just. We're not just Mabali. It's like you, Mabali.
Yeah, I have a calling.
No, you have a calling. Your gift, you're clever. Number one.
Okay.
You're clever. Number two, you're very discerning. And I don't even think you've noticed that about yourself. Because you're constantly picking up information. And it is how you dispense of it that makes you so unique. It is how likable you are, relatable, and just fucking intelligent that makes you so exciting. And that's your calling. That's why you're in radio. That's why we get to hear from you a lot. That's why you went into journalism as well. And I'm glad you're back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you impart knowledge. But you, what's the word? You dress it up nicely and then you deliver. You understand?
Now, you know, I understand when it comes from you because I get it. You have your way with words. where they come out, it just flows, you know?
No, it's funny. Because, you know, and I need to have a party. I was saying I need to have a party. And that's when I remembered it can't be a normal party. There has to be slaughtering involved. A beast must lose blood.
Mosebetsi.
Yes, it's a party where the VIP list includes ancestors. So it's the ancestors who is the everyday people.
Yeah.
So luckily ancestors don't really have seating requirements. They just have...
They're helpful in that way.
Yeah, they're helpful in that way. Their only requirement is literally going to be catering. I know that there must be... There's this lottery.
Mm.
And then we must brew traditional beer.
Yes.
And boy, my cousin didn't waste time in going, hey, when was the last time you made traditional beer? You are making traditional beer. You better still remember how to make traditional beer.
Do you?
I brewed my last batch in 2007. That was the last time I brewed beer.
It'll come back to you, I think, once you start, you know.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever brewed a batch of traditional beer. I'm kind of embarrassing.
I'll invite you. I'll invite you over.
Yes.
First, I have to find out if I'm allowed to have an outsider helping me make the beer.
Oh, okay.
Because isn't it I'm supposed to make the beer? Oh, you can come and watch, and then you cram, and then...
Yes. I am all over that. I am all over learning how to brew.
Yes.
Mkombo tea from Dumimuraike.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is, I'm actually thinking of brewing my own small batch this week, just to make sure I remember how to can do these things, because I don't want to shazam myself. Because it's such a process, hey?
Yeah.
The last time I did it, it took me a full day to get it done. And then when the sheep is done as well, there's the cleaning of the stomach, there's all of that.
I suppose that's why they call it musebetsi.
My friend, it's musebetsi. It's proper work. Yeah. So, but that one, I think I'm going to take that thing after we slaughter it, to be honest. I'm going to take it to a butcher and ask them to professionally do it for me. I don't want health hazards.
Okay, I mean, it is what they do. It's their skill.
Because there'll be many nations at this thing. Let's not traumatize them.
Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be Scotsmen there. Then I can say, this is our own version of haggis. Because I want to give them tribe and say, this is haggis if you don't mince it up.
Have you ever had haggis?
I've had haggis. It is such a delectable, delectable thing.
Now, are you saying that as somebody who eats malamohodu anyway, like somebody who doesn't understand the whole malamohodu thing,
yes,
would they be put off by the haggis?
If you don't like mohodu, you might not, it's highly likely you're not going to like haggis. But if you like liver spread, you might actually enjoy haggis, even if you don't like mohodu.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And then you're also wearing a sash.
No, isn't it? They put me in a sash and they gave me a crown. Whereupon I did say, "Wee ma." The universe said, "Morake, since you'll never be a beauty queen, let's give you an award that allows you to pretend to be one.
Take what you can get."
And it's funny because as soon as I got into this crown on the night, ne? I mean, on the throne. I sat on the throne.
Oh, and then, I love that.
So my first thing was Amy Klein, Hans Bastana, Kuma, a lot situation. Just because that was the last time I bothered to actually watch
this a beauty pageant.
Yeah. But I actually attended Miss South Africa earlier this year. How weird.
Okay.
I know, it was very weird for me. I was like, I'm here. Why am I here? And then I had the tickets with it. So I channeled them and I sat in this throne all regal-like. And I was like, but why am I feeling unnatural? I said, let me fix this thing.
Yeah.
Proper through one leg over the arm of the throne, leaned back. And I was like, now the queen is in
her throne.
Man. The queen shall reign her way.
You must own it.
I play this game my way. I mustn't now start throwing the line. And it's funny because, you know, you win an award like this and you feel like, oh, now I must prove myself. I mean, because there's a twit who decided that he must shine on my shine and say...
There's always going to be someone.
Always,
yes?
Ne?
They can't just let people enjoy
their
moments in their lifetime.
Yeah. And this person was saying that how did I win ahead of Skumba? Like, now he's heard everything. If I won. And I went, you don't even know the fucking industry, honey. You've seen one comedian and you've decided that's the industry.
Yeah.
And it just made me realize, Horman, you must do things your way. You win this award, then people are going to say, yeah, everywhere you go, we must see. Why? Mm. And I'm like, no, this is about my body of work, this. And part of doing comedy is dying. It's part of the journey. It's actually part of the adrenaline. Is how well or badly you do on a stage.
Sure,
you know?
That sounds like too much stress.
And
for
I wanna stay true to my voice, Mabali. If there's one thing people must know, that this award is also a danger warning. This is actually a warning to the world that hier kom kak. Like, you know, now I have the award. I don't have to try and earn another one.
Oh my God.
Am I not going to say exactly what's in my mind and my heart in the moment?
As you should.
I not going to do the very comedy that I want to do now? Because isn't it? It's mine now. It's not going anywhere. I don't need another one. Yeah. I have this one now.
As you should. As you should.
But now I've proven I can.
Yeah.
Now I can do me. Now it's like,
now
no more toying of any lines.
At the very least, that's what we expect.
The gloves are off. This is condomless sex that's about to take place right now. Danger zone.
I know you've got your, what is it? Are these platform wedges?
These are wedges.
Okay.
Why? No, why are you judging them?
No, I'm not judging your wedges. Dumi's wearing her platform wedges, but I'm going to ask her to take them off and just do a little bit of a lap of victory for herself as we take a little bit of a break here on CliffCentral.com with Dumi Muraike, Comic of the Year as voted for by her peers at the Comics Choice Award, which took place on Saturday. You better start running.
Kay? Oh, la, la. So tweet.
CliffCentral.com. Hands up on my big G, 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 hands up on my big G.
on me bigger now.
If
Gareth.
You, sorry, Gareth has just stepped in.
Yeah, Gareth.
Studio.
Gareth always comes, and I swear he eye fucks me. He looks at me, and I feel naked and violated. He looks at me,
okay.
And I swear he looks like he's taking me. Gareth, you must calm down. I'm not that hot. I promise. It's all in your mind.
When you walked in, what did he say? He said, "Yes, as I love winners." And then he gave you a hug.
Yes, he did.
He genuinely loves winners. That's all he cares about is winning.
Yes, that's why I love him so much. He's hashtag winning all the time. I remember when I came to the Cliff Central, and one of my friends thought it was fine to say to me, "You've decided to go and work for a white man." Hey, I said, "Slow your roll." I've decided to go and work with a lovely man.
Big difference.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. I like him, this Gareth Cliff.
You like him?
No, he's all right. He can stay. He can. That day when we're pushing them all back into the sea, that one I'm protecting him. I'm hiding him in my house. We're not drowning that one.
We're going to stow him away.
He's
somewhere.
Mine.
We're going to hide
he's
him.
Mine.
We're going to hide
I'm
him.
Stowing
somewhere.
Him away in my children's room.
Trauma, can we talk about this weight situation? What's up, Amara? I realized that I have basically been fat the whole year since January. Okay. And it's just been getting worse and worse.
Honey,
and
there are fat women
time.
Who haven't realized they are fat, so you're making progress.
And you know, when I say fat, obviously, because you know there's a comfort level that we all have within our bodies.
Yes.
So as soon as you step outside that comfort level, to you it's, I'm fat.
Yes.
And then other people will look at you and they're like, stop whining, you're fine. But no, I'm speaking about that level of comfort that we're all in, the way you're like, what's up, I can make it sure.
Yes, my fat is not your fat, and your fat is not my fat.
Okay.
Exactly, and I know what you mean.
So I have it's been like this since January. Mm. Like I've been feeling this, and now it's September.
Mm. Wait, I want to ask you this before we start talking about, and because I see where you're going. Have you ever been in a bikini or desired to be in a bikini?
I have desired to be in a bikini.
Why?
I avoid bikinis like the plague.
What made you want to be in a bikini? What kind of body did the person in that bikini have that made you want to be in a bikini?
Look. Which women look good in bikinis? You know, I don't want to be super skinny because that's not something that is going to be attainable for me. You know, I'm a 33-year-old woman. I'm getting older with every passing second. I can't now want to be size model.
Mm.
That's just ridiculous.
Mm. I've never heard of that size model. I like it.
Size model.
It gives an immediate picture in my head.
I like the thick look. You know, where you're toned and you know you've got curves and you've got bumps in all the right places. You're not stick thin.
Mm.
You stretch clothes out nicely.
So now we are talking about internal struggles of weight. We're not talking about what everybody else is saying. It's about you.
Hey, I know it's about me, but isn't it that every woman on the planet has these internal struggles? I guess we are the harshest on our bodies.
Yes. So what are you doing about it, my bad?
Well, I'm going to. This is the thing. Is I have done nothing about it since January. So actually, there's no point in me complaining and moaning when I've done nothing about
it. Exactly.
The last time that I was in a gym was probably 5 months ago. I have not been. I have not stepped inside of a gym in like 5-6 months.
True.
What one?
Sure.
It's a problem.
Okay, but what have you done since you were not in gym to help yourself in the meantime?
Nothing. Hillary? I've done nothing.
Okay.
So now I'm just irritated because, and this happens all the time, I yo-yo, ne?
Mm.
So I'll lose weight and I'll be feeling good and I'll be looking fantastic and I'll be like, yes! And then I'll start letting myself go. And then I will let it get to the point of, but this is now too much. Like, you have to do something. And then eventually I do something about it. And I think I'm at the point where it's like, but this is too much, which is why I'm so frustrated. But I'm always angry at myself that I keep letting it happen. Every time, without fail, I keep letting it happen.
Askisi mabali.
No, don't feel sorry for me. It's I brought it all on myself.
But we must do something about it.
Yeah. And, I mean, I even asked you to provide me with your trainer.
Yes, and the way that poor man keeps fighting with me because I become so busy and I keep cancelling. You start to feel guilty. It's like, I swear, it's a weird relationship, guys. It's like a lover who you feel bad for standing up. The way they can really guilt you, know?
Yes.
And I have a personal trainer because I can afford it. Well, I can, but that's not the reason. I hate gym.
This is me.
I hate seeing people who have arrived where I'm trying to go. It doesn't motivate me. It just makes me feel cuck.
I'm just plain lazy. That's my problem. That's why I also
then
like working.
Properly. Why?
No. That's why I also like working with a trainer, because then if somebody is screaming and shouting at me, then I'm going to do it. If I'm left to my own devices and I know what I'm supposed to go into gym, it's not going to happen.
You know what I like that I started doing? Because I lost a lot of weight. And then after making that progress, I felt like, oh my gosh, Timmy, you can do even better. But then I started to get comfortable with this new body. Because but this is lighter than the last one. I can enjoy this for some time.
Yeah.
And then winter hit. I started gaining weight. I became busy. And I dropped the ball on a lot of things. And I found that one thing that has helped me is making this whole, the thing that helped me lose weight, made them part of my everyday life.
Yeah.
Like now, I don't go on diets. I refuse. Because you know what? They work for a while I'm on them. I leave them. I double on everything I was eating on at a normal rate.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've literally gone, I'm going to eat like the French ladies. I eat a little bit of everything I love. But I've cut out sugar. So like today, I actually had something that had sugar in it. I had a milkshake here.
Mm.
And I realized that, oh my God, I've had sugar. I'm going to have to pay penance for that sugar.
You
know what I mean?
And penance comes in the form of you sweating it out.
Sweating it out, drinking green tea, which is going to be followed by water for the rest of the day to flush it out of my system. Like, I'm being good to myself. Even when I buy food, if I can find a healthy version that's still tasty of what I want, I go for it. Like, I love my hot wings. I love my hot wings. But I go, if I'm having the hot wings, they will not come with chips. It'll just be the hot wings, and I'm not having them with cool drink. I'm having them with water. You know what I mean? Or if it's not a proper craving, but I know I'm hollering just that wing effect, I will go and buy the grilled ones. Then I go and get the grilled one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you must just be nice to yourself. Watch how the weight will start melting off.
Yeah. Nice, you know what? You have a point to this thing of not dieting, because we all know that that is a complete waste of time, waste of money.
And for some reason, it's like when you're single and nobody wants you and you're desperately trying to get a man, then you get a man and all the guys you wanted only now start hitting on you now that you've got a man.
Is that a real thing,
it's
though?
It's a thing, this thing.
Why?
I don't know. But I think it's the same thing with food. Like, you'll find that you actually don't eat as badly as you think you do. Then you go on a diet and suddenly even the shit you never ate is so tempting. You walk past, like, I hate cream donuts. But I will walk past the green donut if I'm on the diet, and I will want it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but why do I want this thing when I don't even like it in life?
It's because suddenly you told yourself, or you can't have X, Y, Z.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yes.
Okay. No, we'll do this thing. We shall persevere. It's summer bodies. That's the other thing. It's that whole pressure of, now you have to look a certain way because it's summer.
Yeah. One thing I'm liking about summer, though, is now I'm leaving my yellow bone status now. I'm going back into my biscuit brown.
Oh, okay. You don't like the yellow bone status?
I'm never sure if I actually look healthy when I'm yellow. I'll be honest. I just don't know.
What, you think you look like you've got jaundice or what?
These situations, like, I don't know. Sometimes I question it, you know? But I'm enjoying the complexion on my legs. But I love this because, you know, this is when you get to see who are still wearing skirts in winter, who wasn't. People are coming out in two-tones where the hands look like gloves because they were the only thing showing during winter and everything else is light. But, no, man, you must enjoy your summer body. You know, women must also remember, okay, but you do want to be comfortable. Because I was going to say, there are guys who love to see a little extra kodonki kodonki.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are always going to be guys who like certain things.
Yeah.
You know, some of them like them sickly thin. Others like them really, really.
Sickly thin.
Well, I mean, you know, there's varieties out there. And different people like different things.
Yeah,
but I was interrupting you. Carry on.
No, I've lost my train of thought because I'm laughing at sickly thin.
I don't know what else to... You know what? I'm being mean, Shame.
No, you're not being mean. There is sickly fat looking that some guys enjoy, and there's sickly thin looking. See, women must realize at the end of both spectrums, Jay, there's problems. But if you're feeling uncomfortable, like for me now, I feel heavy. That's the only reason. My stomach, Joe, my stomach is always my go-to place of knowing that to me, you are in cack, you are doing something wrong. You're either under a lot of stress or you're not eating properly.
Yeah.
And right now, it's not stress. It's definitely I'm not eating properly. And I've started moving again. So I've actually lost 9 centimeters around my waist.
Ooh.
Just in a week of doing what? Cutting down on bread, getting out the sugar again, and moving. 9 centimeters, bruh. Doesn't sound like much to some people, but if you were to take your tape measure and look at what 9 centimeters looks like, it's exciting.
No, it is. And isn't that a difference in size?
It's a difference in size. I do have jeans that I did manage to close this week.
In a week, you
but
say?
But they were fitting me properly at the beginning of the year.
In the space of a week?
In the space of a week.
Did you... Otaraz?
Dead serious. Dead serious. Hmm. Just because I... You know, you increase the water you drink. I eat later in the day.
Mm.
I found that the earlier I eat, the more likely I am to get hungry again in a short space of time, you know. And I eat more. But that's just me. Because people aren't the same. That's another thing.
Yeah.
People must realize we're not all the same. But I found that eating later makes me eat less for some reason. And I grew up being told that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You must jump in there. And I don't. I start eating much later in the day. And when I have my breakfast, it's always protein heavy. Then when I have lunch, I eat. I eat.
Okay.
I don't mess around.
No, you like, do. I've seen people you were there to
judgment.
You,
like,
no, I'm...
How dare you eat like that? Like you're a size zero time up your M. And then what happens is because I have a nice sizable lunch and it's always something nice and wholesome, by the time we come into supper, I'm just closing off because isn't it my kids eat early? It helps to have kids. If you have small kids, it's actually easier, I find, to not eat too late in the night as well.
So what time do the kids eat?
My kids eat at 6
mm-hmm.
because 7 they're in bath and 7:30 they're in bed.
Okay.
So you understand that it's helping me because now when they eat, I eat. And it helps that they have 10 million allergies. So there's a lot of stuff we're not eating, like we're cutting out wheat, we're cutting out full cream milks and all those things. We're having to buy alternate like almond milk and these things.
No way. And so those things are real?
Those things are real. These children are made of paper.
No,
I'm telling
but
you, these
yeah.
babies, I don't know what they're made of. It's because they're not growing up like us, Mahaying.
So, I mean, what is that about, though? Is it a case of... we ate through our allergies anyway because maybe back then our parents didn't know better, and there are things that we didn't know better years ago that we do know now. You know, gluten, for example.
I think all this cuck we know now is exactly what's wrong with our children. Because we know so damn much about so much is so wrong for us, we are not having the stuff that made our bodies resilient. We needed those things. Our bodies were surviving those things so that as we grow up, nothing else attacks our bodies. Our bodies on standby for rubbish to be thrown at it. Now we become so damn sterile that it's for me, I feel like germs find penthouses waiting for them because we are so damn clean. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. Like, I encourage my kids to play outside. Like, you know, they'll be like, oh, watch your 2-year-old. They put things in their mouths. I'm like, good. She must put stuff in her mouth. Let her body fight that thing. And because I remember
her body will figure it out.
Her body will figure it out.
It's smart.
My mother, when I used to panic about, oh, I think I ate ing ing, she'd be like, auntie, what are your stomach acids there for? We are too protective of ourselves, and then there's too much SPF in the lotion, and then at the party the treats are sugar free and they are nut free and they are what free aftec, man.
Yeah.
Then it's springtime, everybody's dying of a fever because everybody's allergic to everything.
Hey.
And I'm going, if you were just eating normally,
this wouldn't be an issue.
This would not be an issue.
We were talking outside while you were doing your interview with Lerato Chabalala. We were talking outside about menopause. Somebody was saying that she has a friend who is 37 years old. And she thinks that she is starting to see those symptoms of menopause.
At 37?
Wabon. And she was asking the question, guys, does that mean like menopause is going to hit us earlier and earlier as time goes on? Because I think that's what happened with teenage girls and their menstrual cycle. Don't they get them earlier and earlier now? Because they say that it's because of the kind of stuff that our bodies are exposed to these days. So the chemicals we ingest through, you know, whether it be your bath products or whatever it is that you're eating. Mm. Like the things that are ending up in our bodies today are a lot more, like they... I don't know if toxic is the right word, but they're a lot more toxic on us than what, you know, what they used to do back in the day when they were not as advanced. So the saying is that teenage girls get their menstrual cycle earlier and earlier because of the impact that these different chemicals have on our hormones.
That's it.
And the way that our bodies react. And so she was asking the question, does that mean that we're going to get menopause earlier now? Because that stuff is also impacting, you know, that process.
Do you know how much you're depressing those single girls right now?
I know!
Who are like, I need to find Mr. Right and make babies.
Ah.
And she's 35 and she's hearing that there's a 37-year-old who's going through menopause.
Askisi, and you know what? Yeah, like it says.
So the biological clock is
no,
proper,
look,
like,
I don't know. It was just a conversation that we were having. I don't know if it is in fact true.
That,
you know,
is insane.
It would be scary. Can you imagine menopause at 30-something?
Although I love the idea of not getting my period anymore. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I live for the day.
But that's about, yeah.
Cause for me, I'm sorry, for me, my periods are just, I still don't, I'm never going to have children again. Why must I still mince? That's the only thing for me. I'm like, but I'm done having babies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've
Why
shut
must
it down.
I continue doing this thing? Eh. But I don't want to lose my womb because I'm just like, yo, hysterectomy. I don't know side effects. What if I never have an orgasm ever again? Because,
okay.
No, because you know what I always think about? Like, there's this kind of contraction that happens in your uterus when you're coming. Like, I've felt it where it feels like it's contracting and I feel like I'm feeling my uterus literally going woo. Woof, woof. Like, woo, this would have been the time to make a baby. So I'm trying to imagine if it's gone, hey. Where's that feeling gonna go? Where is it gonna manifest itself?
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah.
Then I go, no, my womb, you're safe, you can stay.
It's fine.
Yeah, just
the same space, you don't have to go.
Yeah,
anyway.
You don't have to go.
Yeah.
But you're a museum now, you're not for occupation.
Yeah, yeah.
That is. Do you ever think, do you worry about that? I mean, do you care?
About what?
Because, you know, more and more I'm meeting young women who are actually saying, no, I'm actually enough as I am. My achievements are not actually going to be defined in domestic terms. My achievements actually are different. My plans are different. I don't want to. My legacy is going to be different. It will not come in the form of living, breathing beings. And if it needs to be living, breathing beings, I can always adopt.
Yeah.
So are you there or are you just going, I'm going with the flow. If I find a guy and I have babies, I find a guy and I have babies. If I don't, I don't. Like, where are you at?
Nah, I've pretty much since day one, since I, you know, started contemplating the idea of, oh, okay, so once it's no longer me in the world, could there be a husband? Could there be a family? Could there be children? I have always been closer to the side that says that I'm probably unlikely going to have children than the other scale, right?
Mm.
So over the years, it's either been, oh, I'm definitely not having children, too. Okay, maybe I could, but I've never found myself at a point where I say I definitely want to have children.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, which is difficult to explain to another woman. In fact, it's difficult to explain to men as well, because I was talking to a friend of mine, a guy friend, and he was saying, yeah, you know, and that would, like, that's a definite deal breaker for me as a man. And I say, yeah. And a few of my relationships have had to come to an end because of this thing of mine of, yeah, but you know, me and children, I don't know that I want to go there. And then the guy definitely wants to have children, and then we'll say, okay, well, you know what? Then it's I'm not going to waste your time because this is something that you definitely want, and I can't say that I'd definitely give that to you.
I love these men who just want children, and then you wonder how many of them are going to actually sit and raise them properly, be there at 3 a.m. when this thing is screaming and you can't figure out what it's screaming for.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But they make it so damn important enough to end the relationship. Wow.
No, I actually ended that relationship.
Ah, what?
No, I can't.
Whereupon I give up on
you. I did not want to waste this person's time. Mm. You know, when people start saying to you, nah, I want A, B, and C, and you say, well, I don't know if I can give you A, B, and C, but I can give you D, and then they say, no, I definitely want A, B, and C, then you're like, okay, well, then you must find it somewhere else, and yeah. I don't think that I should stand in the way of you getting that.
Hey, when you look like you're a heartbreaker, Jagoro, you've just been breaking us left, right, and center. Hi, Mabale, I'm judging you, eh? These poor guys. But listen, back to your body story.
Oh, okay.
You must make sure you're able to move lightly in this boat. If you don't like it, I'm going to judge you every time I see you not doing anything about it. But
No, I'm going to start doing something about it for sure.
I think you must join me. I'm doing a sexy shoot with a young lady.
Sure.
I'm planning a young shoot where I'm going to just enjoy my body. I don't know if I'm getting old, but I've decided, you know, there's things about me that I've used to apologize about. And I've decided this is the time to celebrate those things about myself. And so I had a young conversation with Thick Leonce. And I said, look, I'm actually inspired by the pictures you've got on Instagram and, you know, the kind of look you've gone with. And I want to play with that. Obviously, she's younger than me and, you know, but I want to something age appropriate. And you know what I mean? Still somebody's wife and people's mother.
Okay.
But okay. I love the idea of that's why I was asking about a bikini, because I felt like I would like to actually try a young swimsuit situation and very nice body accentuating outfits just for a shoot, just for a young sexy something, just you know. So join me. Let's do that.
And then feel my heart. My heart is stopping.
Just enjoy your body.
My heart has actually stopped beating.
No, because you know, sexy is a sexy thing, man.
And I don't think I'm sexy right now.
We need to work on that sex.
No, let's first work on my thought, my mental state.
That's what I'm saying.
Before I get into a bikini.
No, I feel you, because it actually looks disturbing when somebody's dressed in something sexy and they look uncomfortable. The person looking doesn't see sexy. They feel like they're doing something wrong by looking. Because you clearly don't want to be looked at. So why have you put yourself out
there? Yeah, well, that's the thing, putting yourself out there. Listen, it's almost time for us to wrap it up, so we're going to do that now. Before we do so, though, I personally would like to, for Hugger Men, because I get it, we have this thing, Hugger Men. I would personally like to hug all the men who not only recognized Tumi Moraike as the comedic equal, but also that she's actually better than them this time around. So for all those comedians who set aside their issues with their balls, you know, and their testosterone and their Tarzan behavior, and acknowledged, Tumi Moraike, yes, she is better than me as a comedian, and therefore she deserves this award of Comic of the Year.
I'm
so
touched.
I am hugging all those male comedians who did that.
Ish. I agree, I second it and support it unreservedly.
Okay.
I would also like to leave everybody with the one thing that found me this morning, which I would be remiss not to share with the world today. Who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. Did you hear that, guys? Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure about around you.
Mm-hmm.
We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. This is Marianne Williamson, and I'm sharing this with you because I believe we need to remind ourselves this.
Thank you very much, Tumi Moraike. Congratulations on your accolade once again. We're very happy.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy to be able to say that you are my friend.
Aww.
Now I'm going to go outside walking around telling people who I'm friends with Tumi Moraike. I don't know about you. Okay.
Security!
We're back next week Tuesday on cliffcentral.com. Thanks for joining us. From one queen to the next, this is the appropriate way to end the show today.
Oh.
This is CliffCentral.com.